Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Always excited when you take the time to listen to our show. And today, we've got Pam and Scott joining me for your listener questions. And today, we get a great question about one day at Disneyland. It's a bonus day. She was not expecting to be out there, so she wants to get the most out of that day. We give some great advice there. I do think so myself. We also get a question about snorkeling at Castaway Key for a family that's never been on a Disney cruise. Pam Forrester is a snorkeling expert, so she gives her thoughts there. We also get a question about a kind of fancy meal at Walt Disney World, so we give our thoughts on some places to think about for that. And early entry and resort transportation for a family that's headed down to Walt Disney World here soon. This and many other questions as well on today's show. Don't forget, our show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Of course, those 2025 Walt Disney World packages are available right now, and we're giving increased booking bonuses for the first month over at the Magic for Less. So get your booking bonuses. Get those bigger Disney gift cards right now. Swing by themagicforless.com. Cost you nothing extra. And you get those first choice at your rooms you're looking for. So just swing by over to the website right now over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That one extra click supports everything we do. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so very much to our patrons. You guys make this show possible. You're Club BOGP. You can be as well, starting at just $5 per month, and you're getting a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. This week, we talk about the ESPN/Disney connection. It's called Cool as the Other Side of the Pillow. Come on over and enjoy the show. It's patreon.com/BeOurGuestPod.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2447 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a great week. Thanks so much for dropping in for listener questions, as we do every Wednesday. We appreciate you being here live with us, as we have Kim Taylor, who is tuned in live with us here on Facebook, and she is at Garden Rocks as she's watching us live. We appreciate that. She's over there at Epcot, so have a good time over there, and thanks for dropping in. But we're going to have a good time today answering your listener questions, and we have the crew assembled to answer those questions. Starting off with your friend and mine up in Michigan, hashtag Scotty G. What's up, Scott?
Happy Wednesday, Mike. Doesn't it feel like spring, like an early spring? Like I'm thankful for that groundhog over there in Pam's neck of the woods, that we're seeing some early spring, because the day of recording, it's 70 degrees here. It's unbelievable. So, but yeah, happy to answer some listener questions. My favorite show of the week. And hopefully we'll get stumped on a couple today. I really want to use my brain power today. So hoping for some good questions.
Yeah, first question of the day comes from Phil in Pennsylvania, and says, spell Punxsutawney.
I'm going to use a lifeline and ask Pam. I'm going to phone a friend here.
That should be like on the, like in Missouri, our kids all have to take what's called the MAP test, like at the end of the year, like the Missouri Assessment Program kind of thing. It was like, you know, you always threaten the kids all year, like, man, you're getting ready for the MAP test. Like this time of the year, the teachers would all be pulling their hair out, because like you throw away the textbooks and like you just start doing test prep, right? For this, because all the teachers were evaluated with it. In Pennsylvania, right? That should be like question number one. Spell Punxsutawney. No, you're not passing this grade this year because you spelled it wrong. I'd be like, P? I don't even know what comes next. I'm a terrible speller. Thank God for iPhones.
It's got to be a U next, I'm guessing.
Pux. Like P-U-X?
Yeah.
The Tawny. Rest. I don't know. Speaking of her home state, we're just kind of having fun here. We got Pam Forrester, coder of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, busy times over the last week. We're making it, but man, fingers cramped up a little bit. What's going on?
I know, right? So much. So first of all, let's the Punxsutawney debate. It is P-U-N-X-S-U. T-A-W-N-E-Y, Punxsutawney.
I was skipping that N. I was going straight to the X.
You were missing the N.
I thought it was Punx.
Yes, exactly. And I will tell you, so when I was in elementary school, we lived in a town. Are you ready for the name of this town? Zelianopal. This is what I had to learn how to spell, Zelianopal. So anyways.
That's fun to say, though. I like
that. I know, yeah, right? It sounds that's like an elf thing.
That's all like a, it sounds like it should be a movie where Olivia Newton-John roller skates or something.
Right? Oh, that would be kind of cool, actually. So anyways, yes. And if you haven't heard, and where have you been, 2025 Walt Disney World is now available to book through the end of October. So if you're interested, reach out. We have a special booking bonus going on until the end of this month. So,
Pam Forrester, I'm just trying to get through March 2024.
I know, right? I know. We all are. This is like wave season. Like they call it wave season for us because there's a wave of bookings that happen. And it's we still find that to be the case. It's usually pretty busy the first few months of the year. So we're cramming it all in together.
It is. All right. So let's get to the, oh, I got to send a shout out to my wife. Her birthday is tomorrow. So my Pam, this is the podcast. We got to clarify the Pams. So my Pam celebrates her birthday tomorrow. So shout out to my Pam. Happy birthday. And
happy birthday, Pam.
Yes. We'll go out to eat wherever you like tomorrow night. Because tomorrow night, it's great. No podcast recording on Thursday nights because we do shows on Mondays. I do shows usually on Tuesdays. Got that one out of the way a little bit early so I can do some more work. Wednesday nights, podcast night. So Thursday nights and no basketball tomorrow night. So no cheer. So it's we're clear. So we're going to have a little birthday dinner. All right. First question comes from TJ. One of my great guests over the Magic for Less says, have a question for you on the dining plan. Since it's been at least 12 years since I've used it, we have an upcoming reservation for the three of us. One of my daughters is currently on the Disney college program and will be joining us for a few of the meals. As she's not on the reservation, nor will she be with us for all of our meals, she obviously won't have the dining plan. If we go to a character meal, can I use one of my credits for her and then pay cash for a lower cost meal? I know you used to be able to do this, but wasn't sure if Walt Disney World has cracked down on this. TJ. So Pam, how can that, can that work? How do you allot your credits?
So it used to, I'm going to preface this by saying you used to be able to do this. I believe you can still do it. Really at the end of it, when they present you with the bill, you would take it and you have the credits that are attached to you because you're on the reservation and you can use it to pay for however many credits you need. So if there were five people, then you would do five credits. So I have not heard that this is not the case since the dining plan came back in January. And I'm sure that we in the Disney community would have heard it if there were a complaint to be had, because Lord knows if there is a complaint, one has to voice it on social media.
Is that not what social media is made for?
I was thinking that. I wonder if the creators of social media ever anticipated the level of complaining about Disney in particular that would happen. I wonder.
If not, they're pretty excited. let's spread that wildfire.
It's freaking magical.
Yeah, I would say yes, because I mean, think about it. Like in the old, TJ kind of mentioned this, so he obviously knows that back in the old days, you could just, you know, bring somebody over to your table. You'd give your credits away. You could last day if you were a total bad manager.
You could be like this. I'm paying for my meal and five people sitting around me.
Scott, didn't you do that back in the day? I thought you had a story where you gave out some meals like at a place one time.
My first visit, it was our last meal of the trip. And we're on the deluxe dining plan. So all we did was eat that first trip, by the way. But we're at Yachtsman Steakhouse and our server comes over and they're like, you're not on the dining plan by chance, because there's a gentleman that's willing to pay for your meal if you're not. And I'm like, dang, like, why didn't this happen? Like, why can't that happen on a trip where I'm not on the dining plan? You know, but yeah, used to see that all the time. We did it in 2019, I think. Like, Pam, we're with your family and the Martins. We all went to homecoming and it was our last day of the trip. We had like six or seven credits. We're like, yeah, let's just credit the whole table. Right. Like, I mean, you don't want to waste them. Right.
But no, you don't want to waste them.
And I like TJ's strategy, right? Like use them for the like a more expensive meal, yes, and then pay cash somewhere else. And I have to agree with you two. Like, I haven't heard anything. I mean, you two might be more in tune to it, but I feel like you could do it, but never take our word for sure on that, 'cause we have not heard otherwise.
Yeah, just ask your server and just, you know, ask him or her and see what they say.
All right. Now I want homecoming.
Oh, or whatever, I know, right? or whatever character meal. I mean, dine with Mickey Mouse or Chippendale. I could go for some garden. I'm kind of in a garden grill mood right now. Like,
no, I want like thigh high biscuits from Homecoming.
Yeah, I want that mac and cheese from Homecoming as well.
Oh really, yeah, it's good. And their collard greens are beyond yum too.
We by the way, this show is always recorded at dinner time, and it always gets back to food. All right, Amy's got a question, and she says, "Hey, Mike, for future listener calls and questions podcast, this summer I will have the opportunity to spend one day at Disneyland. I'm a seasoned Disney World person, but I've never made it to Disneyland. I'm so excited. I know in a perfect world, more time will allow me to do everything, but I'm grateful for that one day. How do I maximize my day? Should I buy a park hopper, get Genie Plus? I've heard about the Blue Bayou and fireworks parties, but is it worth my time doing those things? I remember you saying to be at Radiator Springs at sunset, so I don't want to be at a dining reservation and missing Radiator Springs. Thanks so much for the answer and for the amazing podcast, Amy." So first, we'll all give tips. My tip is don't do sit-down dining on this one day. I know Blue Bayou is awesome, but I would snack and just grab counter service, because one day you don't want to waste time. Like, as cool as Blue Bayou is, that's just going to eat into your time. I would just, there's so many awesome snacks and so many great counter service locations. Don't do sit down dining. That'd be tip one for me. And if you guys think it's disagree, feel free. But that's my tip. Scott, go ahead.
Well, it depends on what their goals are. If they want to do like all the attractions, then yes, skip the sit down dining. My tip was going to be Genie Plus. Totally. I mean, even if I was doing one day at Walt Disney World, I would do it. But I think it works better at Disneyland. I mean, it actually works really well at both. But I feel like the availability is there more frequently at Disneyland. So can't miss doing Genie Plus for sure. And her other comment was the park hopper, which I'm going to flip to over to Pam, because I know she's going to have the same answer as me. Pam, what do you think about the park hopper option?
100% park hopper. Yes, don't even think about it for the second. Even at Walt Disney World, I feel that I use the park hopping, all of the time. And at Disneyland, it happens even more because the parks are literally within walking distance to each other. It's a short walk across the Esplanade, and you'll be in the other park, and you may want to bounce back and forth a few times. So definitely with the park hopping, you're going to want to experience both of those parks. I think the other thing you're going to want to do is just go in with a game plan. What's important to you? What do you really want to see? Genie Plus, I agree with Scotty. I would absolutely purchase Genie Plus. It's going to save you time, and it works so well out there. I think that guests that are used to it at World are often really impressed with how much better it seems to work at Disneyland, because, and I think not everyone buys it there too. I think that's another thing that sort of contributes to it working so well. If you're interested in you'll have to wait for times to be released to see the fireworks at Disneyland, if they're going to be offered that day, and also World of Color. I think that there's not a package that helps you see the fireworks, unfortunately. If there were any kind of dining or dessert package, I would recommend it wholeheartedly. There is one for World of Color, so you may have to make a choice there and see what is more important to you. I would lean toward the Disneyland fireworks if they're going to be offered that night. They're just really spectacular and something to see. And sometimes you can see both, especially if there's an early World of Color showing it and also a later one. So see if that's possible too.
And the Shaboom thing is what you're mentioning for around, and they usually do it right at the official sunset time. So if you have like a weather app, you can kind of see what the official sunset time is for Anaheim. And you can ask a cast member to go out there maybe 10, 15 minutes before sunset. Everybody kind of gathers out in front of like Luigi's place there, that intersection by Flo's V8 Cafe. And some of the cars will come out and people dance around, and all the neon turns on, and it's really, really cool. I mean, if you miss it, you miss it, but it is pretty cool. It's one day, so I would recommend that. And Scott, I think you totally, I'm 100%, you've told me this, and I agree, because we've done this a couple of times. Fantasyland at Rope Drop at Disneyland. It is incredible. Not only do you get on so many attractions so fast, but while you're going from attraction to attraction, every time I've done this, you'll see characters just walking around and riding the attractions. Like on the carousel, you'll see like the Mad Hatter and Alice and marching bands will be walking through Fantasyland. I mean, it is like a commercial. It is wild. Like you'll see Alice hopping on the ride. You know, we saw that our last trip out there, I think. Like,
yeah. I was going to throw in one additional comment. That was going to be it for the one day, like we got a rope drop. And depending on where you're traveling from, it's kind of easy to, like, if you're coming from like an Eastern or Central time zone, it's really easy to rope drop there because you're just going to be up naturally early. But yeah, got a rope drop Disneyland and go straight to Fantasyland. You might be tempted to go to Galaxy's Edge or Adventureland or something, but you can do so much in that Fantasyland, especially if you skip Peter Pan. Like if you go to Peter Pan first, you're going to wait a while. It's just something, I don't know what it is about Peter Pan on both coasts. It's just always a long line. But if you skip Peter Pan, you can almost do everything like in the first hour in Fantasyland. And my secret strategy, because it's my favorite Disneyland attraction, I go to Alice in Wonderland first. Just in case if it breaks down later in the day, like I just want to have that opportunity to do it because I think it's the coolest dark ride that they have at Disneyland. But you're just going to have a blast. One full day, Amy, you're gonna have so much fun, and you're gonna be really tired at the end of the day. I can tell you that.
It's tired, but happy tired. And you're not the thing is happy too. Tired, right? But out of Disneyland though, like it's not humid. Like it's not as exhausting. For some reason, like
I think it is. I think it is.
I don't actually. Like it doesn't get me as bad out there for some reason. And I think maybe it's because it's like on the West Coast. I don't know.
I think it's more exhausting to me because of you don't have like the transportation like you would at Walt Disney World, like the Skyliner and the boats or the buses. And then you feel like, oh, it's so easy to park off. Like, cause you ran into this over the race weekend, Mike. We never went back to our room. Like,
I know, we always have every intention of taking a break. I know, but I loved it. Like kept going. It was
that's why awesome. I feel more tired because I don't get my swimming time.
Dude, I was in heaven, man. I was like, I love this place. Let's get on the canoes. That's what I kept saying. Let's go on the canoes.
Yeah, you wore us out, Mike. Man, we like chill, and you did not. You had no chill in you.
I love that place, man. It's my jam. Okay, Jacob's got a question. Hey, happy new week, Mike, Pam, Ricky, and Scotty G. We've officially hit our activity booking window on our first ever Disney Wish cruise. So far, we've booked every snorkeling activity we can, a catamaran snorkeling tour in Nassau, and snorkeling at Castaway Key. Big snorkeling fans, he says, our kids are 10, 8, and 6. Should we bring our own floaties life vests, or will these be provided for our kids? As always, stay awesome, and we'll see you real soon. Jacob from Arkansas, fellow original Missourian and current cheer dad, I just want to be like Mike. Like that. Go, and they booked with us at the Magic for Less, and we appreciate that very much. And I know Jacob's getting super excited to take his kids on the Disney Wish for the very first time. We've been chatting a little bit. So I could not be more excited for Jacob and his family. So Pam, I've told him this. I don't snorkel, but my daughter, you have adopted Mallory as far as snorkeling at Castaway Key. Like, she nonstop talks about this like through her whole childhood, not just like for a day, like her whole childhood is you snorkeling with Mallory. So give him some advice here.
So at Castaway Key, they will actually require you to use their vests. They're a real bright, like lizard yellowish, greenish color, right? But everyone who's snorkeling has to wear them. I think that you hear the lifeguards there on their chair about 200 times a day yelling to people, if you're going to snorkel, you need to use a life vest. And you do have to use their life vest. And it's really just so they can keep track of you a little easier. So they will do that for you at Castaway Key. And I would imagine that they do it at the other specific port adventures as well. It's a safety concern. I would think I like having my own mask. It's nice. I don't always bring it just because of luggage room. Sometimes I do end up using the ones that Disney provides there at Castaway Key, and they're fine. And the other thing is usually, well, since there will be people who show up for these excursions and don't even have any of their own equipment, I'm pretty sure that they're going to have vests for you and things like that. So go and enjoy. My tip for this is at Castaway Key, if you can snorkel early in the day, like as soon as you get off the ship, you're going to have clearer waters and probably some more fish there because there haven't been whole bunch of people there who can stir up the bottom of the ocean and scare away some of the fish, although they're very hard to scare away.
You got to get to them before lunch because, you know, that they do have fish at Cookies and Cookies too.
Right, and that's true.
I heard a rumor that on days where there's no ships at Castaway Key, they still shout that out 200 times a day to put on your life vest. There just can't be a day at Castaway Key where that's right. Not spoken.
Yes, 100%. It's to keep your voice in tune and ready to go.
I had to keep training for that moment.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's a cheer dad, and like they use like the cheer megaphone, right? They got the big, put the life vest on, or whatever. You got to use the official.
The masks they make these days are really cool. You can get some really cool masks on Amazon, and they're relatively inexpensive. Like we bought some for when we went to Hawaii, so. If you want to bring your own mask, you definitely can, like Pam was saying. But the trick is packing. Like if you're going on a cruise and, you know, you want to have all these different outfits because you get sweaty in one day and you have like a nighttime outfit or whatever.
The shoes.
I wish you could with a Ziploc bag, you can air like your shoe. Like I need some kind of way where you can like shrink your shoes or do something, right?
And it's everyone, guys and girls. Like if you have to bring dress shoes and then other shoes and then here shoes for this, then beach shoes.
Okay, let's take a pause here. Hang on. Hot take second. What do you guys think of the change on the Disney Cruise Line where guys can wear shorts at Paolo now?
For brunch, I think it's fine.
Brunch is okay. I mean, I dined with a guy wearing a Hawaiian owl Viking shirt at Paolo.
That is
allowed, I'm champions. Surprised they didn't allow shorts sooner. I'm just saying.
You better back off that champion shirt.
I will just say this, and I know people have very strong feelings about this, but
you think oh my god, I saw some stuff on Twitter.
Right? I know. I'm afraid people are gonna fist fight. But what other people are wearing to dinner doesn't really
matter. That's how I feel. It doesn't bother me.
I don't care. I really don't care.
So I jokingly say at work, some of my nicest clothes are my golf shorts. You know, some of those are better than some of the pants. Like wearing jeans to work. Why can't I wear nice golf shorts to work? You know, I can wear jeans. So I don't know. I think it's totally fine.
Tom Perk over on Instagram says, mentally need two pair of shoes. I don't know what kind. I mean, what, golf shoes and regular shoes? I don't know what kind, but mentally need two pair of shoes.
What about the flip-flops? I don't know.
We need more information. Tom.
Sometimes when you go to Castaway Key, you need more than one pair of shoes because if you want to ride bikes and then go out to the beach, you need multiple footwear.
Scotty G needs Crocs. I mean,
I know. I'm the weirdo that wears Crocs. I know.
No, I like Crocs too. I actually do wear Crocs sometimes.
You have every right to tease me on that one. Absolutely.
You just have those super bright.
I've never been able to wear flip flops or sandals. I
don't like flip flops either. They hurt my toes. Okay, next. This is the share session today.
TMI.
Our listeners are either love us or
hate
us.
I don't want to hear about Mike's feet, man. No.
You do not. I got my foot. My right foot's wrapped because I got the biggest blister the other day. It's out of nowhere. Okay, Cindy's got a question. Hey, Mike and crew, love the podcast. And you all are my first line of inspiration. Well, sorry that we just, she's like, God, I used to love that show.
Before
the last 5 minutes. Yeah, exactly. Okay, she says, I am most definitely the Disney lover in my family and most definitely the planner. My husband threw me a curveball when he asked if we could go to a nice dinner out while we're in Disney World in September. I will also include our 7-year-old daughter. We aren't overly fancy people, but we do enjoy a nice dinner with atmosphere. We have 3 resort days built into our trip, but one of them is going to include Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Any suggestions? Thanks. Cindy's up in Ontario, Canada. So they are not overly fancy people, but they do enjoy a nice dinner that does have atmosphere. So what does that have you thinking, Pam Forrester?
I think that the nice dinner shouldn't be a curveball. I think it should be included in every location. So, but no, I totally get what you're saying. And you know, the good news is there is really only one restaurant in Walt Disney World where I think it's overly fancy, right? And that's Victoria and Albert's. And really any other restaurant that I've been in, there are kids, there's noise, you know, they don't have a dress code. The dress code is in keeping with the restaurant, and it says no tank tops, I think, and
shorts,
jeans.
Just kidding.
Jorts.
It's Florida, man. There's gonna be jorts.
Right. It should, yeah. Thinking all that's in the fine print. It's unwritten. It's like in between, you know, you gotta read between the lines. Yeah. But anyway, so anyone else, any other restaurant, I think you can go to. So if you're looking for a nicer experience, one of the signature restaurants, I think one that is absolutely something that will appeal to children and adults alike is Narcoossee's. And I will say that if you can time it so that you're there when the fireworks happen, you're going to have a great view of the fireworks. So that's absolutely going to be one of my recommendations. If you're looking for something not quite as nice, but still nice, then I would give Ale and Compass a try. I think that they have great food. It is I won't say it's an over the top atmosphere, but it's a dark sort of, I love the colors. When they redid this restaurant, I was like, I love this. Like, it's dark wood. And when I say dark, I don't mean dark wood. It's like navy blue. Mm-hmm. It's really a beautiful restaurant, and the food there is fantastic.
See, I would say
I found a photo of Captain's Grill like on my phone the other day. It just popped up as a memory. I'm like, whoa. I totally forgot it used to look like that in there.
Yes. Before it was redone, it was so over the top, like 80s. There was wallpaper that had a teeny tiny print on it. It was like burgundy, navy blue, and cream. It needed done so bad.
Captain's Grill had a good breakfast.
Well, and Ale and Compass has a good breakfast.
I know, it does, but so do Captain's Grill. I mean, don't be dogging on that. So, I love that back in the day. Dude, I don't care about wallpaper. Here's the deal, and I like 80s aesthetic, so that's me. But here's the deal. To me, Narcoossee's is fancy, like fancy. But I love, Len's got one in the chat. Len in Maryland says Boma. And I think this one kind of hits everything because it's got a lot of atmosphere. You're at Animal Kingdom Lodge. You can see the animals, especially the 7-year-old daughter. I think she would love that. Got a wide variety of foods. I think that'd be a perfect. It's not super fancy.
My problem with that, though, I want to be waited on in a moment like this. You know, I don't want to have to wait and stand holding a hot plate for 15 minutes to get my Boma mustard.
And that's good food.
I mean, I love doing that. Don't get me wrong, but if we're talking about like this nice, like
that's
they
a
might
good
dress
point.
Up
okay.
a little bit or
okay.
whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, sure.
I don't want to go to Boma necessarily.
Okay.
You know? And here's the question: the question about Boma. Do you try to carry the soup bowl with your other plate, or do you go back? Like, what kind of person are you?
No, I bring them both. I mean, I'm not taking.
You're both. You're going. You're holding them both.
That's. I got big hands. Yeah.
Oof, that's risky.
I know. That's.
I
me
hate to
too.
See you fumble that one.
Dude, I was a tight end. I can do it.
We gotta ask Boma servers. Percentage of people trying to carry both.
I'm confident.
That end up dropping.
You know they probably have side action every night.
Yeah, you're like green shirt over there. Over under. Gonna drop it? Not.
Okay, Boma, maybe not.
In conjunction with Pam's answer, I'll go the other way with the entertainment with great atmosphere. I would go with Topolino's Terrace as another great one because you can see the fireworks. I love the atmosphere in there. I think even for a 7-year-old, they would like it. And it's cool to see the Riviera Resort, I think, personally. So that would be my other option.
Good choices. The only other one I'd throw in was Whispering Canyon. Now, that's not going to be as fancy, but it's kind of interesting, like over at the lodge.
And I think the Wilderness Lodge is a great location too.
For sure.
That it's just every time I go there, even I think to myself, why am I not staying here? Like, you know what I mean? You're like, wait, why am I not staying here? Why am I staying wherever I'm staying?
I think
you know where I might want to go on my next trip though. I was looking at ADRs today. And Pam, have you been to the new Mexican restaurant, like at the Swan and Dolphin?
No, I haven't.
The menu looks really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And they put out some good food over there at some of the Swan and Dolphin restaurants. So I think that would be a fun one too.
And Mike, when you bring up the menu, there's a, you know how they have like sections like your mains, your appetizers, whatever. There's just a guacamole section.
Oh, holy menu. Guacamole.
With like that, five or six different options. Like, I love it. Oh,
yes. God. This is how every restaurant.
Do they have like a, you can sign up for like a guacamole tasting, like a tequila flight? Awesome.
Well, there is a trio of guacamole plates. Yeah. So they do have a guacamole flight, Mike.
So what are the trios? Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember. So I think they have like a base and then you can add on to it, kind of a thing. So like, I know I would rather have like some just three different, like super unique ones instead of like a base and then add.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how Maya Grill had like the weird like strawberries, which I liked when they did that. But so it's stuff like that. But still kind of cool, I think. I need to add that restaurant to my list though, I think. It looks really good based on the menu.
So on the way to Springfield, when we had to cheer the state a couple weeks ago, we stopped at this Mexican restaurant to get fajitas on the way down, right? Because we're on the way. And yeah, it's like, oh cool, we try a new Mexican place and the killer fajitas. Really good. But we tried the guacamole, right? And they brought it out. And I love guacamole, right? So I liked it, but it had peanuts in it. Dude, Pam is still talking about how mad she was that she got shorted guacamole that night because she didn't like the peanuts in it.
Interesting.
She's like, that guacamole had peanuts in it. I'm like, yeah, it was different. I didn't like it. I'm like, it was like one Friday night where you didn't like the guacamole. I mean, it's fine.
You know, though, mad. When you're waiting for it, like you want it to be good.
I'm sorry, it was different. I mean, we had it again probably two nights later, and it was our normal guacamole at El Azteca. It was fine. Okay.
So, Mike, do you ever not order the fajitas if you're at a new Mexican restaurant?
No, because I used to forever. I got the number 15, which is like a burrito and, you know, the combo platter. But I've been on a fajita kick since before marathon weekend. I started eating like that because I wanted more protein. But I've been jamming to fajitas ever since. Every time.
Fajitas.
Yep. There's my order. So now you know I got a blister and I eat fajitas every night. Okay, so Melissa's got a question here. Oh my gosh, she's in Hawaii. Here we go.
You really went down a rabbit hole with that question. Today I did.
And then on the next episode.
Speaking of protein, apparently I haven't had enough protein today because my brain's not working. Here we go. Well, I mean, I did record already one show and we're going to do another one after this. Hey, Mike and BRGP team. I'm thinking of taking my daughter for her first trip to the world this December. We'll be visiting family for the holidays and want to add a quick 2 to 3 day trip at the end of our visit. She'll just be turning 2 at the time. There's so many things I want to do and see with her that I don't know where to begin. Should we stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge to see the animals? Wilderness Lodge for the Christmas magic? A value resort because she's 2 and won't know the difference? Where would you guys choose to stay and why? I'm also thinking of skipping the park hopper because her park stamina won't be great at only 2. But which parks would you prioritize? We are, what are some must-do attractions? She put shoes, but I think she means shows. Or meals. Thanks so much for all the Disney tips over the years. I've been a listener since our first trip in 2016. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Melissa is in, oh my gosh, help me out, Scott. Kailua? K-A-I-L-U-A? Kailua? Am I saying that right? Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Yeah, that sounds right. Like, Shaka. It's just phonetic. The vowels are pronounced differently in Hawaii, but it's really just.
Okay. Yeah. We'll say in Hawaii.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Over in the islands. So, no, that thank you for right listening
for
so long.
That's a big trip to go all the way out there to no Florida. Doubt. I like it.
So, man, a lot of questions there. And really,
I was
no
taking
wrong
notes.
Answers.
So, I want to start off where they should stay. And I love the Wilderness Lodge.
Agreed. That's what I was going to say, too.
Pam was just talking about it. Like, every time she's like walks through there, she's like, dang it, why am I not staying here?
That's true.
And we always think about I've never really been at Christmas time. We're in December, really. But this is like where I would stay, I think, like with the tree and everything. And like, you're close to the Magic Kingdom because I think that's a park that they're going to want to go to often, right? With the 2-year-old, even if they're only there for a couple of days. I think that's going to be. That and Animal Kingdom would be the two parks I think they would want to focus on personally.
You just nailed it. I would say Wilderness Lodge, prioritize Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom with a young child. The toddler's going to love the animals. And of course, Magic Kingdom's got the characters, the fantasy land.
Festival of the Lion King, we're talking about shows. As Pam would say, hello, Festival of Lion King.
Finding Nemo. I like that show too. Mm-hmm. What else, Pam? What are you thinking?
I think. The tendency here with the young child and having it be your first trip is it is going to be overwhelming because you want to see and do it all. But I think the thing that you have to keep in mind is you can't do it all. So prioritize and go with the flow as much as possible. This trip is going to be magical no matter what you do. It really, truly will be. Sort of try to keep on your schedule if you can. And, you know, at times, if she's a morning person, get there in the morning, do some stuff. If she takes a nap, try to make that happen. I know it's hard when you're not at home, but you'll save yourself some grief. Pick a character meal to attend. I would absolutely do that. And the reason why is it's more controlled. It's a character greeting opportunity, and you get to see a few of them and you get to enjoy a meal. And I think it's just more relaxed than maybe waiting in that line. And then you're sort of thrust there in there with the characters. And sometimes that's all a lot for a kid. Like, then you have to get out of there within the next minute. You know what I mean? That's a lot. I feel like a character meal sort of eases you into that experience so that you see how everyone relates to the characters. And it's a more relaxed atmosphere. So give that a try. And just consider, I think a lot of the shows are going to be fun. I think that Disney does so much with shows that make them entertaining to everyone, and it's a great exposure especially for a younger child.
Yeah, like Felicia says, man, time change, that's gonna kick them.
It is. Luckily they're gonna be in Orlando for a while before, it sounds like, so that may be to help you. Yeah, but the time change is a lot.
Yeah, I'd say too, for the meal, like Crystal Palace would be a good one right there in the Magic Kingdom.
I love the character meal idea. Everything you said there, Pam, was spot on. Yeah, just go with the flow, like they say in the Finding Nemo show. So if you make your way over to the Finding Nemo show, yes, just go with the flow.
Man, this show is off the rails. Let's go to the last question of the day. Okay, it's from Aaron. He says, hello, BOGB crew. First of all, thanks for all you do. You bring an infectiously positive mood to the world that seems full of negativity and people who aren't happy unless they're complaining. So thank you for brightening all of our days.
Well, so we try.
We're infectiously positive and all kinds of stuff. All right, now I have a few questions. He says, for all of them, I know your responses will simply be your best guesses, so don't worry, I'm not looking for exact answers. Well, good, because we probably don't have them. So there you go.
We rarely have them.
It makes me feel good. God, Aaron, I love you for giving us that leeway. He says, we're staying at Pop for the last week of June this year to give you an idea about crowd levels. He followed up and he also said, I should probably know that we don't have our own car. It's just going to be buses and Skyliners. Okay, here we go. And when I reference going to a park, you can assume I mean whichever is farthest from Pop. If we want to rope drop a park, taking advantage of early entry, how early should we leave our hotel room? 60 minutes prior to opening, 90 minutes prior to opening? That's his first question. I'm one of those people, dude. I'm there so early. Like, if I want to get there early, and he says leaving your room. Would you leave your room 60 minutes early or 90 minutes early? Like what's your strategy if you want to be really take advantage of early park entry? What do you do?
I try to get in by the skin of my teeth. Like, I try to be there. Like, I am there for early entry. I'm walking in as they're entering. Like, I try to be in that first wave.
Yeah. And what if you want to be people ahead of you in that case? So if they want to be like the first ones,
let's say you want to be in the front 90.
Like, if this is really important part of the vacation, like, I would go with 90 minutes, because who knows, you might be waiting for a bus for a little while too and all that. So, and I know what you were going to say, Mike, you love to be early for everything. I think the three of us like to do that, but, yeah, in this case, I think 90 minutes is your safe bet, but I personally would do 60 if it was me.
See, I'm a 90 guy, because I think with that 30 minutes that you're going to eat up in the morning, you're going to probably get a return of probably an hour later on in the day, because you're going to get so much more done if you're in the front of that crowd. Like, Pam is right. She could roll in with early entry right then and kind of be in that first wave. But if you're in front of that first wave, you're probably going to get more done than Pam by an attraction or two, and you're going to at least make up 30 minutes on Pam.
I think so.
If you go the right way. He continues, though. What sections of the park are actually open during early entry? For example, I know you can't head straight to the Jungle Cruise, as that section of the park won't be opened yet. Okay, so let's use the Magic Kingdom for an example. What they're going to do is hold you at, like, the land entries, right? So they're going to hold you at like the Tomorrowland kind of gate, that sign that says Tomorrowland, or at the castle where you can head back into Fantasyland. Basically the hub spokes. They're going to hold you there. And then when it's time, it's kind of like the running of the bulls, but it's the walking of the bulls. And so you prioritize, like, do I want to head to Space Mountain? Do I want to head to the, and then when it goes, then do I want to Jungle Cruise? Cause that'll be, you know, the major e-tickets are going to be open. So,
but the early entry is only certain lands, which that might be what they're talking about, because like you can only go towards, cause they'll check your magic band. That's
true. They scan. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's like Tomorrowland and Fantasyland, if I recall, are the two that are open.
Yep.
So I would target that area, like a Space Mountain, like if you want to do like an e-ticket, like a Seven Dwarfs, Peter Pan, or like a Space Mountain, maybe.
Okay. And he also says, how long might a bus trip take going back from a park to pop for a midday break, say around 12:30 to 1? Now here's the big variable. So the midday break taking a bus back. This is the one, the buses don't run as frequently midday. So, you know, in the mornings they're going to send a lot of buses because a lot of people are heading to and from the parks, right? There's a lot of more people moving from park to park and resort to park. At like 12:30 or 1 o'clock, there's obviously not as many people leaving the Magic Kingdom to go back to the resort and so forth and going from the resort to the park. So, God, it's such a crapshoot in the middle of the afternoon because you could walk right up on a bus sitting there and it could be getting ready to roll. And you're just like, jackpot, I'm going to be back at my resort. Because Pop Century is about a 15-minute ride from Magic Kingdom. But, I mean, you could have just missed it. And in that case, man, you might be sitting there for 30 minutes. I mean, worst case, you're probably sitting there for probably 15 or 20.
But the good news is, because you're staying at Pop Century and it has a sister resort, you could take a Pop Century resort or you could take an Art of Animation resort bus and just walk over to Pop Century from Art of Animation. So that's something to think of too. It is a crapshoot, but I've literally never waited that long for a bus, I will say.
Agreed. And I will just throw in there, that is like one of my favorite things. Like I'm telling you, I'm like the chill guy from that old video. Like I love the midday bus ride back because like I know I'm going to have a seat.
Yep.
Right.
It's going to be ice cold.
And it's hot. The air conditioning is going to be blasting. It's going to feel good. Yeah. And I can just, because I'm normally like the driver, like of the family. Like, I mean, we all drive, but like I do most of it. So it's just nice to like sit down and like just relax for like 15 minutes on a way to resort after I'm like exhausted from being in the parks.
Yes. Knowing that you're going to be able in your room soon.
Yes.
You're going to be able to put on your bathing suit and get down to the pool.
Yes, I know. And knowing like if I was already there at rope drop, like I've already done so many things already too. Like you're just ahead of the curve and now, and that walk out is so much fun when you're walking out and people are walking in, you're like, see ya suckers, I'm going to the pool and I've done everything already.
Right.
Yeah, because it's hot. Yeah, exactly. You know, you're right. I mean, it's very rare do you have to wait that long, but I mean, that is kind of, I am one of those people that always plan for the, you know, I always plan for the worst. And then, you know, if it doesn't happen, then I'm like, oh yeah, score. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to make sure that at least I am ready and I can get back there. So especially like on my, like this way I think about it, like on my departure day, right? If I have say like a mid-afternoon flight and I go to the Magic Kingdom for a little fun in the morning, I leave way earlier than I need to because I'm like, oh man, because like I go back to my hotel and get my checked luggage that's at Bell Services. I always leave the Magic Kingdom way too early because I don't know
how long. And that's when the bus driver is standing there like, hey, man, always, I'm just waiting for you to get
always,
here.
Right, always, because I'm always scared that like that's going to be the day that I have to wait 30 minutes for a bus to show up and the bus is always sitting there. And then what do I have to do? I go back to the hotel and I'm sitting in the lobby for 30 minutes. Yeah.
And it doesn't even sit there either. Like you hop on, yeah, and boom, like, all right, shoot. Yep, we're ready to go.
I'm like, dang. I'm like, oh. Yeah, totally. It's always like that. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It is a crapshoot. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, as soon as you get on that bus, chilling in the air, you can catch up on your social media. You can go to sleep. And a lot of times I'll take a nap till I get back there. You just pull my hat down. I'm out. All right. Great questions, Aaron, and great questions, everybody. So if you have a question, Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get on those next Wednesday. But hope you enjoyed today's show. Now, let me remind you of one thing. And, Scott, I saw you were doing this yesterday in the Discord server. I want to think of our Discord server. If you're not over there, go to Discord or go to our Discord server. I think of it kind of like as our little clubhouse for the Be Our Guest podcast. It's a little kind of combination message board / chat room where so many of our listeners have been hanging out over the past couple of weeks, and it is just awesome. It's kind of our community coming alive, helping each other out. And I saw one of our listeners asking about making some ADRs. It was her and her daughter, I think like a 4-year-old daughter. and they're looking for some great character meals. And I saw Scott jumping in talking about a brunch over at Crystal Palace, getting that little hack of late breakfast, moving into lunch. Some other folks were talking about, you know, hey, don't forget Tusker House, you know, and oh, I never even thought about Tusker House, you know, and like listeners helping each other. We're not just talking about Walt Disney World. We have Cruise Line, folks going to Alaska for the very first time, and folks that have been there many times giving port adventure advice. And we're talking sports, stuff that's not Disney. It's an amazing community, and we're really building that up over the past couple of weeks. We want to keep that momentum going. So if you're not over there, come on over. Just go to brguestpodcast.com. Scroll down the right-hand side there in the widgets. Just click join the Discord server. It's just like a message board. And join in on the fun. We have a daily trivia question there. Trisha does that up in Wisconsin. It's a lot of fun there. It's really cool. And I just want to thank everybody who's being a part of that. It's been a lot of fun. And just want to keep that going. So come over and join us on the Discord server. And we'll have fun with that. Scott, it has. I mean, I get that little, I don't know if you get the sound when somebody posts like on your computer. I get boop, boop, and it's all up here. Do you get that
sound? I usually have my phone silent. So,
oh, do you? No. I do. And I get excited when I hear it. Anyway, come on over. So today's show, of course, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We're standing by to help you plan a great Disney vacation right now. All the details over at themagicforless.com. But I'll tell you this, no cost to you. Great booking bonuses right now for the first month for those 2025 packages. And lock in. Get that hotel you're looking for 2025. Now's the time. You know, what do they say? Strike while the candle's hot or something? I don't know, whatever it is. The metaphor, it's terrible. But hey, book now. Time is never going to be better. So lock in. $200 deposit, fully refundable until 30 days before the package is due, until you travel. So really no risk. So just swing by themagicforless.com. Also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Oh my gosh. My brain is fried today, but when you shop online, use that link, and then patreon.com/brguestpodcast for the Patreon link. And you'll get Mike in the Midwest, our bonus show. And I've already recorded that one for this week. And it's a pretty decent one because we talk about the link between ESPN and Disney, and it's called Cool is the Other Side of the Pillow this week. So come on over and join that. Just $5 a month. You can support the show that way as well. All right, follow Scott, Epscott, EPSCOT, Pam's TMFLT, Pam. I'm BR Guest Mike, and we'll have our live call-in show this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Give us a holler. We'll talk Disney on Sunday night. All right, we'll be back again on Friday. It's going to be a fun one. We're talking about the most important 30 minutes of the day on your Disney vacation. All right, so for Scott and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Whatever you do, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.